Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I am talking with our chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman from the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve, how are things going?
Well, they're going well. We just each week continue to make big strides. Of course, we are always looking at what we can do more, but I just believe that we're going to turn the state red in November because of the actions of our state party, the candidates. We've got an amazing array of candidates standing up all the way from congressional districts to the Senate to state and House representative races. It's shaping up to be a great year for Republicans.
I know there are a lot of unhappy Democrats in Grants, New Mexico. As we've talked about before, the Energy Transition Act is really hurting that town because it's a mining town. And so they've closed the coal-fired power plant there, lost about 100 jobs, and they're also going to close the coal mine, losing another 100 jobs. Now we're seeing it was announced that the U.S. bank branch in Grants will be closing in May. So these are direct consequences of people voting for people who voted for the Energy Transition Act.
That's what people don't always make the connection between their vote and toward the services available in a community. But the bank is closing. The bank wouldn't close if it had enough business to keep going. It's closing because jobs are leaving the area. Jobs are leaving the area because of a legislation that was passed, that Green New Deal. Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham has signed into law. The progressives in the state legislature, both House and Senate, passed it into law. And so now then it is mandating requirements and regulations that are causing a couple of your businesses to close there. And when businesses close, banks take a look and say, whoops, there's not enough traffic now to keep us here. And so they will leave, and they're going to take a few jobs with them. Like you said, 100 jobs at the plant and then 100 more jobs with the coal mining industry. These are going to be devastating effects across northern New Mexico, and it's all because of legislation that was passed. There is still a market for electricity. There's a market for coal-fired electricity. It provides half of our power in the United States. And yet this governor, in a radical move, has said, we're going to get way ahead of the rest of the nation, and we're going to implement this Green New Deal here. Well, you can see that it's costing jobs, now costing banks. It's just going to be more difficult to live in Cibola County because of the actions of the state legislature and this governor.
I do want to point out that the bank itself has not said that it's because of the ETA being passed, but it's obvious that that's what's causing it when you lose all these jobs. About 16 houses went up for sale the day they announced they were closing the power plant.
Wow, that's an amazing thing. So when you consider that, the Green New Deal wants to get rid of all fossil fuels. It's starting with coal in your end of the state. We don't have much coal down here in Lee and Eddy County. We have a lot of oil and gas. And that Green New Deal is on a track to shut them down, too. Now, you talk about banks leaving and jobs fleeing the state. That's what's going to happen when the oil and gas industry is permanently disabled. Just take a look at Venezuela. They had a thriving, good economy 20 years ago when they put the socialist, the communist in charge. Then today they have no jobs, no opportunity, hunger on the street, no food on the shelves. That's the effect that socialism brings. And of course, that's what the Democrat Party nationwide is saying. It has nothing to do with local Democrats. I don't think New Mexico Democrats, by and large, are socialist in nature. I think they understand the free market, and they like having choices, whether it be schools for the kids, choices for jobs they're going to have, whatever. But choices are always good, and socialism takes away those choices. Socialism, the government decides what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. It's going to decide what jobs you have, and that's what's going on here already in Grants, New Mexico. So I'm sad to hear it because I love that area. I love the people of that area. And to see the economic devastation that is happening breaks my heart.
And nobody has been able to explain to us what a green job is. We ask, what are you replacing these oil and gas jobs with? Building solar panels. Well, we don't do that here. We do that in China.
Yeah, they build those there. And of course, they got the wind generators, and they don't provide enough power to power basic industries. And so, again, you talk about oil and gas, it provides plastic, it provides fuel for our cars, it provides diesel for our trucks, provides jet fuel for our airliners. And so the concept is that oil and gas provide the basis for many industries besides themselves. And so when you eliminate these, then you're going to lose all of those other jobs too. So they're talking about a devastating effect, not only for New Mexico, but for the country in general, this huge loss of manufacturing jobs when they get rid of the oil and gas. And all Democrats are saying they're going to stop oil and gas. So you have to take them at their word. It's going to be devastating for New Mexico. You in Cibola County are seeing it first, but it's going to happen all across the state, this economic devastation based on the policies of the left.
And you probably saw where oil went down last week to $45 a barrel. It was 60 during the legislative session when they were basing what they were spending on that income.
And the Republicans were trying to tell them that this price of oil and gas is very volatile. You don't want to be spending today at the highest level that the oil may sell at. You want to have a margin in there for the decrease in price, because that's set internationally. It depends on demand internationally. And now with the coronavirus problem, you're seeing people traveling less demand for airliners internationally and in the U.S. And so you're going to continue to see the economy slowing down as people stay home and worry about becoming sick from the coronavirus. That's going to impact our revenues to the state. It's going to say that we've overspent and they're going to have to be cutting budgets next year because of the foolishness for this year.
We had a listener call in last week and ask why the price of oil went up. Gas in Rio Rancho was about $1.99 a gallon, Albuquerque a little higher, and then it went up 30 cents. Can you explain why that happens?
Generally, it's an increase in the price of oil. In other words, gasoline is extracted out of oil. And so if the price of oil goes up, it's going to drive the price of gasoline up. Now that the price has actually fallen internationally by $15 a barrel, you should start seeing those prices come back down. Keep in mind that this price of gasoline, $1.99, is what you're saying. How high did it get under Obama? It went all the way up close to $4. So if you want a very vivid demonstration of what difference it makes to vote for Republicans or Democrats, Trump has brought the price of gasoline down. Obama had pushed it up to a very high limit, and he said he understood he was doing that, and he said he felt like that we were going to have to endure the pain in order to get rid of oil and gas. So I just think that Democrats are not on board with this socialist move, and especially Democrats in New Mexico. So it's another one of the reasons that I believe that we're going to turn New Mexico red in November.
And back to gas prices for just a moment. Keep in mind that when you buy gas, there's a tax on the gas, and the tax is used for repairing the streets in New Mexico. If you drive an electric car, you're not paying your fair share. When we return, we will have State Senator Craig Brandt joining us right here on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I am talking with our chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico. And Steve, we've got a guest on the telephone.
We do. Today we've got another one of our legislative stars, Senator Craig Brandt. He has been in the Senate since 2013 and is one of the leaders there as far as the ideas and policies. So, Senator, nice to have you on the program today. Tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and why you decided to get into politics.
Well, Steve, first of all, thank you for the opportunity. I actually started on the Rio Rancho School Board. My kids weren't getting picked up for school like they were supposed to. I went to a school board meeting and they ignored me. And so I said, well, I'll just run. And ran for the school board, got elected, served on the Rio Rancho School Board for 4 years, and really felt like everything was dictated from Santa Fe, and I didn't like what was being dictated. And so I decided to run for the state Senate and have been there for 8 years now. I'm getting ready to run again, and hopefully will serve another 4 years, depending on the voters. Before that, I was in the Air Force for 7 years, started out here in New Mexico. That's what brought me here. I got injured in a training accident and am a 100% disabled veteran.
Well, thanks for your service. Now, when you ran for state Senate, was that a contested race or did you just walk into it?
No, I actually had to do a primary and then a general on top of that. And I've had an opponent the last time I ran 4 years ago. So far, we don't know that I have an opponent. We haven't heard of anyone. We'll see what happens with that. It'd be great if I'm not opposed this time because that'll really allow me the time to focus on helping our entire caucus win and keep the seats we have. But more importantly, we need to pick up 6 seats. Crucial that we pick up 6 seats so that we can take the majority in the Senate. I believe we can do that. And so I'm really hoping I'm not opposed so I can continue to work in that vein.
Well, that's good news and appreciate your willingness to help. Now, as you served, what issues have become important to you? What things did you pay attention to in this last session? What were the greatest challenges in this last session?
I serve on the Senate Education Committee, so education issues have always been very important to me. I believe that we need to have that foundation. The problem is we've got an education system that does more indoctrination than they do education in our state. And so we have to continually fight against that. And I also serve on the Public Affairs Committee, which sees literally everything. We saw every contentious bill that went through this year, went through that committee first. It is stacked with 5 very, very progressive liberal Democrats, which makes it impossible for us to stop anything there. But we do our best. We try to challenge the bills on the way they're written and whether they're even practical to do. Usually that doesn't matter to the Democrats. They vote it through anyway. Some of the worst things we saw, of course, is the gun bill, which is completely a violation of our constitutional rights. And not just the Second Amendment. We have due process rights in there that have been completely ignored. You've got illegal search and seizure in that bill that's been completely ignored. And so that violates our rights on several areas. Also, we were able to stop a election change bill in House Bill 229 that would have made it even less secure for our elections than they are today, especially on the absentee ballots. And so those were some of the things that we lost one of those, but we're able to stop the other one. But those are things that I was involved in fighting against and working on this session.
It's interesting that you mentioned that our schools in the state are more engaged in indoctrination a lot of times than in the educational process. People find it stunning that socialism is taking such a deep root in the Democrat Party. And yet it's because of this indoctrination that you're talking about in our school systems. I don't think many of the Democrats or independents in the state, and I know very few Republicans would support a socialist government, but young people are flocking in pretty large numbers to the idea of socialism. And of course, it's being led in this country by Bernie Sanders. AOC is logging in because she sees herself as the heir apparent to him. This red flag bill that you mentioned, and again, I appreciate your constitutional awareness to mention that it violates due process, illegal search and seizure, as well as the Second Amendment. And so that's what differentiates us as Republicans many times from the Democrats is the awareness of what the Founding Fathers intended in this contract with the states. The federal government has a contract with the states called the Constitution, and it is only as powerful as the people who are implementing it are. And you're telling us that the implementers this time just totally disregarded that rule of law.
Yeah, you even had Representative Damon Eli saying he realized that it violated the Constitution and didn't care. And yet, you know, we talked about the oath that you and I took when we went in the military. That really stands out to me every session when we take the oath of office in the legislature again. And they just completely decided they didn't care that it violated their oath of office. They were going to do it anyway because they care more about their agenda than they do their work. You know, the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And when you take an oath, you're saying that this is what you're going to do. And we need to be able to count on people who are in office to follow the oath of office, whether they like a bill or not. If it violates the Constitution, they should never vote for it.
Yeah, and this then brings me to another point that Democrats, Republicans, and independents alike are asking, what can they do? Can they give to another candidate? And I said, you're never going to outgive the people who are trying to get rid of guns. For instance, Mayor Bloomberg has probably spent a couple of $100 million trying to get rid of guns. You're not going to overgive that. They're not going to pay attention to your letters because they've got this nationalist agenda that they're trying to implement. When your legislators quit caring what you, the voters, are interested in. The only thing that matters is when you vote the other way. So I'm telling my Democrat friends, if you're tired of them taking liberties with the Constitution, if you're tired of them taking away your freedoms, you got to vote Republican. Now, maybe you aren't going to register as a Republican. You got to vote that way once or twice in order to get their attention. And so here's one of the leaders saying he does not care that it's a violation of the Constitution. That's an amazing thing since we all swear that oath when we go into public office or go into the military that we're going to support and oppose and defend the Constitution. And so I think you're really revealing to us some of the inner workings there that people just want to know why and how and what to do about it. What to do? Vote Republican this fall.
So one thing is our campaigns need to be funded. Yes, we can't outgive Bloomberg. And if you look at the Secretary of State's website, on every Democrat, he basically bought every Democrat in the state. He maxed out to every one of their campaigns through the Moms Demand Action Group. But the more important thing is that every registered voter in the state has to go and vote. And when you know that your representative or you know that your senator has violated the Constitution, do the right thing and vote them out. Don't worry about your party. Get rid of them.
Yeah, you made another great point there that Bloomberg has contributed to all of the candidates in the Democrat Party here in New Mexico. And, you know, he almost slipped in the debate the other night on national TV. And he said, I bought. Then he stopped saying it. He finished the thought, which was that he was influential in many of the seats that changed the Congress from Republican to Democrat. And in his mind, he bought the Democrat Congress. So he feels like he can tell them anything to do.
All of the new Democrats that came in and put Nancy Pelosi in charge and gave the Congress the ability to control this president, I got them.
Well, when he buys the state legislature here, then he feels like he can tell them to vote in the red flag law and they've got to do it.
Do you want Bloomberg running New Mexico or do you want to run New Mexico?
That's the ultimate question. Do you want your state to be bought and sold like something on a store shelf or do you want the state representatives and state senators to represent your views? Right now, the Democrat Party is nationalizing every issue. They're going along with the national agenda in order to get the money coming in from these big donors. And so that's what's at stake this election. Senator, it's been great visiting with you today. I appreciate your public service. I appreciate your service in the Air Force and appreciate what you do. It's just great talking with you today.
Again, thank you for the opportunity and let's turn New Mexico red.
You are listening to Inside New Mexico. We will return in just a moment. I hope you'll stay with us.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I'm talking with our chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. And Steve, the Democrats are having all kinds of problems leading up to this presidential election, and one of them is a lot of people in America still believe in God. They have religion in their life. But our Democrat representatives who favor socialism often oppose religion.
Well, you're right, Derek. Breitbart had a really important article this last week from the Pew Research Centers. The title of the article was Democrats Have a God Problem. They have a God problem from several perspectives. Number one, like you said, the elected representatives don't want to acknowledge the presence of God at all. That's one of the foundations of socialism, is that the government becomes the authority source, not your religious beliefs. But the main context of the Pew article was that people across the country also see that. They believe that in increasing numbers that Democrats are unfriendly to religion and Republicans are friendly to religion. This country was founded on the biblical principles, no matter what the revisionists of history want to tell you. Our founding fathers were very heavily faith-oriented, and each one of the colonies generally was organized around a different faith. They came here because they hated the state religion in Europe. They hated the Church of England telling them they had to be a member of the church, and so they came here for religious freedom. Now, I came across another article, and before I go to the article, I want to read a biblical verse. So Psalms 11, that's where King David is talking, and David lamented a lot in his Psalms. He talked about the dangers that were every day present to him. And so in Psalms 11, he's talking very deeply about when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's a question he asks down in verse 3 of Psalms 11. And that's a significant question. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can your everyday people do when their foundations are destroyed? And so I came across this article. It was published in the Sons of Liberty media webpage, an article written actually back in 2002, and it's by Dave Daubenmeyer, and he's talking about termites destroyed the foundation. So again, that essential question from David generations ago, asking what do you do when the foundations are destroyed? And so Mr. Daubenmeyer really draws very effective analogies to the threat from within. Always the greatest threat to America is not from outside enemies, but always within. So this subversion that occurs below the radar screen eats away at the foundations of the nations, like the termites might be eating into the foundations of an oak tree. And so the left is telling us the termites are going to make the nation stronger. And that is basically untrue, because what's happening is we're finding the nation much weaker. Just this idea that Democrats are so wholeheartedly nationally moving to socialism. There's no way that you can say socialism is good for the people, and yet the foundations have been destroyed in our education system. But just as much, the Ten Commandments were the basis of the rule of law in the country. It's the basis of our Constitution, and yet the Ten Commandments have been outlawed in our schools. The religious aspect is the only reason that many of the laws that we have today are to be implemented. There are cultures where stealing your neighbor's property is okay. You just don't want to get caught at it. So the Ten Commandments say you shouldn't steal. Likewise, taking another life. There are elements of societies all across the world where it is sheer power. And if you don't do what they want, they'll kill you. And yet our Constitution says that you can't kill your neighbor. And it comes from the Ten Commandments. Prayer in school is just removed. And so you don't have prayer. You don't appeal to this higher authority. And that's the intent of the left, is to get rid of the whole concept of God, of religion. Religion is what keeps a lot of people living disciplined lives. It's that commitment to a higher power. It's commitment to be better than we would normally be as human beings. As humans, we're deeply flawed. And that, again, is one of the great differences between the left and the right. The left believes that we're perfect as humans, and the right, as conservatives, believe that we are deeply flawed. Since we're deeply flawed and we have the tendency to mess up, we need a savior. That is the basis of the Christian religion. And the left says, no, the humans are basically perfect. And if there's a mess up, it's because of something in the environment. It's not the problem of the person. It's the gun that is the problem, or it is the parents who didn't give the kid a good enough background. Something else is always the problem. So this article, The Termites Destroyed the Foundation, Sons of Liberty Media, Dave Daubenmeyer, I would recommend that our listeners go and take a look at that article. It's great source material. You know, there was a whistleblower back under the Obama administration, and he basically dealt with terrorism and this lifelong fight for freedom, a guy named Philip Haney, and he was suddenly found dead just this month, and they initially ruled it a suicide, but now then they're saying there's no way it was a suicide. So once again, you have a whistleblower during the Obama administration standing up and saying that what Obama was doing was not defending the country, and in fact was going to allow a lot more terrorists to come here. So Google Death of Philip Haney. Take a look at the articles you'll see there. Make up your own mind. We had the first death in America of the coronavirus, resident of Washington State. So you'd want to take a look at that. I thought one of the interesting things that I saw this last week was a video sequence showing how that Buttigieg is plagiarizing Obama, just almost word for word in the speeches and the mannerisms and the tones. It's too early to see if he's actually going to be able to use the same words and same speech mechanisms that Obama used 8, 9, 10 years ago and be successful with them. Just a ton of things happening on the life issue. There was a viral video of a girl cheerfully getting an abortion. It just takes your breath away. Also on the abortion issue, Hillary Clinton was in a Glamour magazine article and was berating the media for even running stories about reproductive rights. And of course, that means that the news should never get out when things happen that are contrary to what the people who believe in abortion want you to believe. Then two things affecting the life issue. The Born Alive bill is one that says if an infant that was intended to be aborted was born alive, then doctors would have to give that baby medical care and medical attention rather than just sitting it over on the shelf and letting it die. There are abortion survivors who go around and speak in the country, and they're just tremendously compelling. And yet the Democrats in the House and the Democrats in the Senate this week voted that if a baby is intended to be aborted and it is in fact born alive, that the doctors can go ahead and kill it after it's born alive. You just can't get any more radical than that. And yet that's the position that our Democrats in the House and the Senate in Washington are taking this last week. So again, just a ton of things in the news every day, Derek.
It's a shame that our friends on the other side of the aisle don't put as much care into newborn babies as they do, say, people coming over the border. But they have their agenda.
They have their agenda.
Thanks, Steve Pierce. Please tell our listeners now how they can get in touch with the Republican Party of New Mexico. What is the website address?
GOPNM.org. You can get the latest news, upcoming events, information about our elected officials, voter resources, and all kinds of important and useful information about our party and its mission. You can listen to our podcast, Inside New Mexico Podcast, from our website. Go to our party's Facebook page. Check out what's going on in the party Twitter account. The handle for both of those is at New Mexico GOP. We also want to remind our listeners that the Republican Party is always looking for volunteers to help us with our mission to win New Mexico for President Trump and to turn the roundhouse red this year. You can call us at the party headquarters if you just want to volunteer in person, 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662.
Thank you, Steve Pierce, chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico. I'll look forward to talking with you and our listeners again next week right here on Inside New Mexico.